give a little bit, I'll give a little bit of my love to you. There's so much that we need to share, so send a smile and show.
Live from somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, that was open line time for you, so get ready for a couple hours of that. By the way, how many of you are afraid of the dark? It dawned on me that a lot of people, not just kids anymore, are still afraid of the dark. They have to get little night lights, keep them in there. A lot of people keep their closet doors closed. They just don't want them opened anymore. Just a lot of strange things. So I'm going to open up a special hotline. Those of you who are afraid of the dark, just tell us why. What happened to you a long time ago? That number, 818-817-0021. Now, open lines all night, but this number reserved for just people who are afraid of the dark. Why? 818-817-0021. I'll be back in a moment. We'll go on with our calls on Coast to Coast AM. And I'm wrapping up things here in St. Louis, so I'll be going back to Los Angeles in a couple of weeks. As you know, last week my son graduated from college, got his degree in criminal justice. Tomorrow night we're going to have his graduation bash, so he's all excited about that. And now I find out he's engaged. Of course, I knew about that, but I didn't want to hit you with all too much information. So, you know, lots of things going on with him, I'll tell you that. Let's go to a west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air with me. Hi there.
Hi, this is Gene in Nevada City, California, calling
Gene.
From the gold country.
Welcome. Bring a little gold our way, Gene.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of gold up here in the Yuba River, so... You guys are all welcome to come up here and pan for it.
Yeah, absolutely. With our little nuggets, huh?
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you this story about the cane toads. No one's even mentioned this, and I tell you, the first time I ever heard this story, I couldn't believe it. During the Vietnam War, one of my Marine buddies told me a story about how they would put lighted cigarettes in the mouth of cane toads in Vietnam. And the toads would inhale the cigarette, you know, the smoke, and then they just explode right in front of them. And evidently, the cane toads can't exhale the smoke or inhale the or exhale the smoke. Has anybody ever told you that story?
No, they have not. But I got, you know, you might be right in terms of there's something very peculiar going on with these things, and I think it's got to do with the environment.
Well,
it might be stuff like that.
I don't believe that there's Marines running around in Europe sticking cigarettes in these frogs.
No, but there could be something out there.
Yeah, but they were doing it in Vietnam, and when my Marine friends told me that, you know, they're just high school graduates, and I'm an entomologist and with, you know, lots of degrees. And I said, come on, fellas, that's because it must be because it's something biologically. They can't exhale the smoke, and so they're blowing up. But they were laughing and telling me these stories, and no one else. I've shared that with lots of my friends through the years, and nobody's ever heard that story.
There are some animals, maybe these toads are the same, that just can't exhale, so they just take it in.
Yeah. So anyway, I was listening to your show. I'm a first-time caller. I've listened to the show, you and Art Bell, for years. And when you guys got to talking about these toads in Europe that are blowing up, I said, I just got to call in and tell my story.
All right. Well, I'm glad you got through.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. By the way, I'm getting a lot of fast blasts from everyone who wants to know, where's Oscar? I have no idea. All I know is the last thing I did is I read an email about an exorcism that was going on and out of Bismarck, North Dakota, and the woman said they did an exorcism in a church, and she says, we believe we were successful. So who knows? Who knows? Hey, let's go to our special topic line. It's called the Scared of the Dark line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome. And where are you calling from?
Livermore, California.
And are you afraid of the dark?
Yes, I am.
How come? What happened to you?
I've been afraid pretty much my whole life, but I know when I was in the sixth grade back in Illinois, right by you in St. Louis, actually, Granite City.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, I'm right there. But anyhow, I saw a figure, which was a ghostly figure, I guess. And ever since then, I'm more afraid of seeing the unknown at night with the lights off than I am, you know, some stranger breaking into my home or something. So,
do you need to keep a lot of lights on in your house?
When I'm alone, yes, I like to see with my TV on and with my husband's son, so it's not so, you know, quite as bad. So,
well, you feel a little more secure when he's there.
Well, not necessarily. I don't know. I just watched that new movie of the new movie that just came out about the EM. The EV, what, you know what I'm talking about.
White noise.
White noise, thank you. Oh, that one freaked me out. So, yeah, I had to have lights on that night. the ghost thing scares me. So.
Well, what do you think's going to happen to you?
I don't know. I came to believe that maybe it was a good spirit that I saw, but I had to teach myself that, you know, over the years. I even wrote stories about it. So.
But you're okay now. Hey, thanks for the call.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you.
Okay, and that's that line, 818-817-0021, those of you who are afraid of the dark. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Daniel calling from Texas.
Hey, Daniel. Whereabouts in Texas are you?
About San Antonio area.
Oh, it's a great spot.
Yes, it is. I got a story about a phantom car. It has to do with the Newton boys that were bank robbers down here.
Yeah, that's a long time ago, of course.
Yeah,
what happened?
Well, supposedly they bury their money and they go around at night in their Cadillac looking for it. I was working in EMS in that area, and we'd always hear stories about the cars, running cars off roads and stuff. And we'd get about 2-3 calls a week about a car that ran off the road, and we'd go to investigate, and there'd be no cars and nothing there. One night I got called out for an accident. And as an actual accident, they said that a black Cadillac had run them off the car or off the road. The unfortunate part, a couple of the passengers passed on. And about 3 weeks later, me and my partner were down, parked off the road a little ways down from where the accident was. We see this light, like somebody's walking with a flashlight up and down the road.
Yeah, and so it's kind of moving, like someone's arm would be moving or something like that. Yeah,
exactly. And so we're sitting there wondering, like, I mean, because there's no houses down this road, nothing. So we're like, who is walking down this road? So we hop in our truck, and we drive up and down this road with our spotlights looking both sides of the road, and you get to about right before that wreck was, you don't see the light no more. No more light, just disappears. I mean, we drove about a mile down past the wreck, couldn't see it, drove all the way back to where we were, got out of the truck again, and there you saw it again. Walking back and forth.
How close were you able to get to it?
Probably about maybe 50 feet.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, as the first time we drove up with our lights on and everything, and it disappeared. Second time we drove up, no lights, total blackout, no headlights, nothing like that. Got about 50 feet, got a little bit closer, and it just disappeared. I mean, it didn't look like somebody jumped into the bushes. It just disappears.
Well, whatever happened to these robbers? Did they get killed in some kind of gun battle, or what happened to them?
Supposedly, the youngest brother got drunk off his butt one night, and the loot they had just robbed from like one of the Austin banks or one of the local San Antonio banks, he went out and buried it by some rock and forgot where it was.
Was he that drunk?
Yeah. A couple years back, they made a movie in Austin about it, and one of the brothers was still alive, and he was kind of like a consultant on it. And they said they never found that money, and they pretty much died of sickness and old age, but they were never able to find that loot that their little brother buried and lost.
So it's out there somewhere.
Yeah, supposedly they're in that Cadillac driving up and down looking for their money.
Looking for their cash. They may never find it. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, we'll go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, Arlington, Texas.
Well, welcome. Another call from Texas.
Yeah, how you doing, George?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Hey, we love Linda, Miss Whitley, and love Art Bell, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, y'all are just, like, fantastic. I've turned hundreds of people on to y'all. And I tell them some of the stories that y'all talk about, and they just think I'm crazy, but it's all cool.
And yeah, but you know what? But they listen to you, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And the shadow people do come out at night.
Tell me about this. Something must have happened to you, huh?
Well, I got some pictures of, it looks like, I was taking pictures. I was having a party, and the whole film, it was new. And I've got this picture. It looks like a guy from, like, the Bronze Age or something. He's got this suit on and stuff. It's real, real wicked.
He goes way back.
I'd like to fax it to you or send it to you, email picture to you.
Absolutely. Email it to me. We'll look at it, and then I'll send it up to Sean and Lex. And if they like it, we'll put it up on the website.
Okay, cool. And another thing I want to say, on the show you were talking to about earlier with Linda,
yeah,
she is so amazing. I've seen her on like the Discovery Channel like a couple months ago. She had a show on there.
She's a good reporter.
I love her. You know, she is. You know, it's great. But anyway, what I wanted to say is that because of the tsunami, I think what's happened with things changing in our atmosphere and everything, and global warming, of course, the glaciers are melting beyond reasonable doubt. You know, cause it put us in a wobble. It shook, if you think about it, it shakes the, you know, like you put things in a wobble, it shook the icebergs loose from each other.
You know what, you might be right. I mean, we've got a 780-foot split in this planet, that this crack that was caused by the tsunami, and they reported yesterday that this thing shook the entire planet. I mean, when I was a kid, I always wondered what would happen if the planet split apart. You know, could it survive as two little halves floating around? Probably not. But you know what? We came pretty darn close to having a major catastrophe. And you are right. I don't think we've seen the last of what this tsunami has done to us.
No, I think the oncoming part of it is really starting to begin, because it's flipped us in our, I mean, I got a compass out, and I was trying to find true north, and I couldn't find it. It was weird. I was like freaking out
strange.
On it. Like,
that is strange.
Where's true north? And then, of course, then we got the sun. It's throwing 3 million
solar flares.
I was listening to your show the other day, and it was like, usually it's like 750,000, and then now it's 3 million on this wave, you know, that we got from the sun, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know. And I think I was outside on that day, and I think I got a little bit irradiated.
You might have been. Hey, thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you. I love y'all, and y'all keep in there, and we love you, and kudos to everybody.
You got that right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Yeah, the sun's been acting up. Everything's acting up. It is strange. But you know what? As I've said once, and I'll say it again, we're all in this thing together, and, you know, if anything happens, you know, it's not an isolated case, you know, so though it's going to be scary for everyone, we are all in it together. Special topic line, of course, is the You're Afraid of the Dark line, and here's somebody calling. Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, sir. So tell me about why you're afraid of the dark.
This is Mike from Connecticut.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing? Yeah, I've been afraid of the dark probably since I was a kid, but not until about 10 years ago or so. I would go to sleep, you know, turn the lights off and go to sleep, and I'd have, like, terrible nightmares. And, like, these people would be, like, pulling in my driveway and coming up and down the stairs and just, like, really scary stuff. And
are you sure it was a nightmare, Mike, and not
yeah,
really
it was, like,
happening?
Kind of an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
I'd, like, be out of, I'd be, like, trying to yell out the window and, like, you know, nobody would hear it, and these people would be just, I don't know if they're people or spirits or what, you know, I guess they're spirits.
Are you still afraid of the dark?
In the dark, yeah.
Are you afraid still?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, you know, I leave the light. I have to leave the hall light on because the light, for some reason, keeps them away.
Well, you know what? If it works for
away.
You, keep the light on.
Yeah, I definitely do, and it's just, like, real strange. It happens quite often, you know, if the light's off, if it's dark and I'm, you know, I'm having this, these nightmares and these out-of-body experiences with these spirits, I mean, they come. But when the light's on, it's, they don't come around.
It's kind of interesting that the light does keep them away. I don't know if it has to do with the electricity that's generated by that or not, but that is bizarre. And have you noticed with little babies and children, you know, nobody's taught them to be afraid of the dark, yet most little kids are naturally afraid of the dark. When they get to a certain age, you know, that you have to turn the light on, or they say things like that. And I wonder why. First-time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi, where are you calling from?
Hi, from St. Louis.
Oh, you're not too far from where we are.
Not too far.
So what's up?
I'm not really afraid of the dark, but I've had some pretty bad dark experiences.
Like what? What happened to you?
From the time I was little, if my the house I grew up in, my bed faced the doorway, and I can't keep the closet door open, and I can't face the doorway to this day because every night there would be movie reels going in the doorway that would make the clicking sound like the old movie reels made. And I would be in one, my mom would be in one, my dad would be in one, and then there would be one that would be a variable every night that would just scroll through. And if I crawled to the end of my bed and looked to try to see them more closely, they would veer back and, like, accommodate me getting closer to them so that I couldn't see them as closely. So, and then if I looked in the closet, they would appear in the closet, too, so I... To this day, I have to have the closet door closed.
And you'd say these are movie reels?
Yes, movie reels. Individual movie reels would appear in my doorway and just keep cycling through, going through, and making that click, 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 click sound that an old movie reel made.
Now, you know, I've heard about guests, ghosts showing up. People who are guests in houses have said things, but this is the first time in my life I've ever heard somebody scared because movie reels are popping up. Why movie reels?
I have no idea, no clue, and no one that I've told the story to has been able to give me an explanation all these years.
And now these movie reels are gone? They don't show up anymore?
To this day, my bed has never faced the doorway, so I can't really answer that question.
So you don't know. Okay. This happened when you were a kid. How old are you now? You want to share that with us?
Well, I'm not a kid anymore.
All right. You're not a kid anymore. Well...
And it happened all the way through.
Keep the closet door closed.
Yeah, I do.
All right, you're good. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye.
Appreciate it. Yep. Well, so I guess these things happen to people in St. Louis, too. No doubt about that. Okay, so the I'm afraid of the dark line. Keep that up. 818-817-0021. Simple as that. And we're going to continue all night long with your open line phone calls right here. I'm George Norrie, of course. This is Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget Art Bell this weekend, and then we got a whole group of programming for you next week. Let me quickly tell you about that. Freddie Silva joins us on Monday. We are going to. It's a whole week of paranormal programs, by the way. Very in-depth look. He's a leading expert on crop circles, so he's going to pick up where Linda Moulton Howe left off. And then on Tuesday, Dr. Eric Fisher joins us. He's a licensed psychologist. He's going to talk about regression therapy and the psychology behind paranormal experiences. Joshua Warren joins us, the expert on how to hunt ghosts. And he's going to do some more work with us about what's been going on in the ghost laboratories. Michael Tesserion joins us on Thursday. He has done in-depth work about alien visitations. And, of course, we're back to Friday again. More open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'll be right back.
Get it in writing with the After Dark newsletter. Subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505. Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Boy, have you noticed, by the way, how many people watch these poker television shows that are on like ESPN and a few others? My gosh, it's incredible. My son watches them all the time whenever he can. I mean, people love those things. I never would have imagined that at all. And I used to do a lot of television years ago. That's one thing I would not have come up with as an idea. Speaking of ideas, of course, my very first book with co-author William Burns, New York Times bestseller, and of course he wrote the book with Philip Corso, The Day After Roswell, is due out in a couple months. It's called Worker in the Light by Tor Forge Publishing out of New York. And it's just about my life in the paranormal world, and we're very happy with the direction of this book with our editor, Bob Gleason, by the way. Two books out, actually, this year, but this one's my very first, and with co-author William Burns, and Bill has just been a great partner in this book because, I mean, he just knows what he's doing. He's been there before, so he's very, very helpful. But as we get close to publishing, I'll let you know about that because I know a lot of you during our Streamlink chats once a month have been asking me about that. So it's getting very close, but it's going to be called Worker in the Light. So get ready for that. A Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast, and let's go right back to our open line phone calls. We'll pick it up by going to a wild card line. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Yeah, hi.
This is Jim. I'm from Ventura County, California, down at the base of the Casitas, Lake Casitas.
You are not too far from our Los Angeles studios, Jim.
No, I'm just a little south of Santa Barbara, so yeah, it's nice on the coast.
What's going on?
Wanted to mention, I really appreciate, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people out here too, the show that you and Art Bell do. It gives an expansion of the mind in what could be and what is, and areas that other people are not talking about, and it's a lot of pertinent information out there that's happening on a day-to-day basis. And it's nice to have somebody that really is interested and can bring people to the forefront. What I wanted to talk about is I had kind of a premonition dream last week, and I know you had said that you had dreams about real bad
tornadoes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had a dream of a 70-foot tide that hit the shores of Ventura County here.
Oh, no.
Must be it all of Southern California. And it took about 6 hours for it to reach its 70-foot level and then recede. And when it receded, it was to within 2 foot, 4 foot of what it used to be. It was a little bit higher. And from what I could remember, the skies were very gray and they were black down over Los Angeles. And like I say, it was a dream. I woke up and I jotted down what had happened and that, and I laid back down again and I fell right back to sleep and got right back into the dream. And when I finally did wake up, I had told the wife about it and that, and she says, it's kind of amazing. I said, I should try and talk to George about it. You know, I don't know if it's in the same time frame or anything else, but it was really very, very horrifying. The water just kept coming up and coming up.
How often have you had dreams like this?
Quite honestly, there are times where I have a very strong inkling of things that are about to be, but a lot of it in my mind, I could say it's deductive reasoning and that kind of thing. But I did, for about 2 weeks before the tsunami, I kept telling my wife, I said, something big is going to happen, and it's not going to be good. And I told her that for about 3-4 days, and it was almost exactly 2 weeks before the tsunami hit. And when it hit, I told my wife, I says, I don't believe it. And I says, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, nobody wants what you dream or what you feel to come true. But it was just an amazing thing that I knew something was wrong. Maybe it's part of the feeling that the animals get when they...
Maybe a couple weeks before the tsunami hit, and I was talking about it on this very program, I felt strange rumblings. I was in St. Louis at the time, and I could feel vibrations on the planet. And this has never happened to me before. Nobody else was feeling it. It wasn't a problem at the New Madrid Fault or anything like that. I just felt these strange vibrations. And it happened a couple times. Now, I unfortunately don't have the ability to pinpoint where or when, but I knew something was going on. And then when that tsunami hit on December 26, I said, you know what? That's got to be it. If this thing was that powerful and it shook the planet, maybe I was picking something up. I don't know. But
yeah.
But these tornado dreams, I had a couple of them. I haven't had any in weeks now, thank God, but I have no idea what it was, but they were devastating. They were huge, and in your dream state, scared the heck out of me.
Well, this was kind of like a shift of the planet or something like that, where the tide kept coming up, and it took about 4 hours for the tide to really get to the height, and then it slowly receded again. But just an amazing feeling. There was no weather, no storm, no winds, no large tsunami wave, no nothing. I mean, it was just a wave that kept coming up. It was
kept coming.
Tidal effect. Last week, when you had the people on with the 25 different shapes, et cetera.
Yes.
I came up with 9 out of the 25.
That's very good.
And I came up with 3 out of the 10. But when I came up with the 9 out of the 25, I never saw a cross in those 25s. And there were about 6 of them from what was...
Yeah, you're right.
So
okay.
I really appreciate getting the chance to talk to you, sir, and keep up the good work, and keep the minds expanding.
Oh, yeah, we'll be doing that. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, one of the luxuries of Coast to Coast, some days you may get a program on that you don't want or you don't like, but somebody else does, and you have to understand, as this program continues to grow and evolve, we're trying to do things that make everybody happy over a period of time. So we'll do our paranormal shows, we'll do our UFO shows, we'll do our Bigfoot shows, we'll do our ghost programs, but we'll also do real science. And, you know, we'll dabble with 9/11 and, you know, prescription drugs and things like that. But primarily, these are stories and shows that affect us in one way or another. They could be the mysteries of the mind, or they could be really, truly health issues. Whatever they might be, we're going to be doing that for you and continue to do that. And, by the way, the support from you, the fan base, has just been outstanding. So we thank you for that. Let's go to our I'm Afraid of the Dark hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Tim from Washington.
Hey, Tim. How are you?
Not too bad. It's a pleasure to be talking to you. Actually, I listen to you every night while I'm working. And I've tried to call and never got in. But when I heard you have the story of the Afraid of the Dark, the first thing that came to my mind was my little brother.
What happened to him?
He was about, he was 4 or 5 years old. He was sleeping out in the couch in the living room on his own, and he had all the lights turned off. And all of a sudden, he woke up, and he was just in a panic, running up and down the halls, screaming. You know, we couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. His pupils were really dilated. It almost seemed like he was possessed. And ever since that day, he really can't sleep alone, and he has to have the TV or a light on.
And how old is he now?
He's 10 now.
Well, that's still a young kid.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for him. You got to turn that light on and turn your radio down, by the way, Tim. You're going to get some feedback on this.
I don't have the radio on. Actually, it's my tractor that I'm in, probably.
And you sound muffled, like you got your hand over your telephone. Do you?
I did there for a minute. Sorry about that.
Okay, there, much better now. Well, so he's 10 years old. He's still afraid of the dark. You got to keep the lights on for him. You know what? You hope he's going to grow out of it, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a weird thing at the moment because of the way he acted and the way his face looked. It looked like he was possessed, and you know, it was kind of a shocker, and it kind of scared all of us.
Well, especially when you see a little kid like that with that kind of a look. Because you don't know what the heck's happening to him at all. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. Where are you calling from?
Hi, George. I'm calling from North Carolina.
Hi. How are you?
Good. I've been listening to your show for about a year. A friend of mine at work, she does a Streamlink thing.
Yeah.
I guess where she can burn the CDs.
She can get anything she wants now.
Yeah, and that's how I found you, and I listen to you all the time now, you know, from previous shows. And I know that on Friday nights you usually have just call-ins, and the reason I was calling is I happen to, I don't know if it's a gift or what, but I see things like ghosts.
Oh, and, really? Tell us.
Well, when I used to walk with my husband, and he does home remodeling. And we used to go into these really old Victorian homes or turn-of-the-century homes. And sometimes if I was working at the home by myself, you ever get the feeling somebody's looking at you?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You're alone?
All the time.
Well, a couple of times I would turn around and just, like, catch somebody standing there looking at me. And in this one particular home that I was working on the outside on the front porch, and I kept seeing, I know the lady had left. She said, if you need anything, I'm leaving the door open. Fine. She lived alone. But I kept seeing somebody looking out the window at me. And I caught a glimpse of what he looked like. And then a few days later, she was showing me clippings of her grandfather, who happened to be a twin. And when I saw the picture, then I realized who it was, and he was the one that built the house. And I guess he was just looking to see what I was doing. And I figured that, Nancy didn't bother me, I guess I was doing an okay job. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been working there anymore. But and another time, I was on my way home, and the way the light had hit me, I was driving in my pickup truck, and my father was sitting right beside me. And my father died in 1988. And he was just sitting there, big old smile on his face, like he was enjoying the ride. And I was like, hey, Pop. And I just, it was like nonchalant. You know, it didn't even faze me that he was sitting there. And it's just, I can go into places, and if there's anything there, I have a tendency of just feeling it. And at the corner of my eye, I'll see it. And I try not to say too much to my husband because it kind of freaks him out a little bit. And it's just weird. And after listening to your show for the past year, I realized I'm not the only one that gets these things that happen to them.
Oh, you know? No, there's a whole group of us that get these. You've got a gift, and you might as well take advantage of it.
Well, you know, it's sometimes it's it can be irritating because, like at work, I think the building was whatever the building had been used for before. I keep seeing shadows, especially out of my peripheral vision, and I'll see shadows, and it'll be like somebody's walking past me, and I'll turn to say something or to see who it is, and there's nobody there.
No, but you get a glimpse of them real fast.
Exactly, and it's like, and it doesn't have to be human. It can be animals, too.
Have you seen these little rodents that have these funny pointed ears in antennas?
No.
That's what I used to see. I don't see them anymore.
See, well, here recently, we had a cat that we had for 14 years, and unfortunately, we had to put her down 3 days before Christmas, just this past Christmas. And honest to God, I swear, we brought her home with us even though we knew she was at the vet. And there was one night, I heard her meowing, but it was like a real distance away. And she just kept meowing the way she always did. And I'm like, I can't yell at her to be quiet and go lay down because she's not really there. And it's just amazing. And I just, you know, and it's, sometimes it's okay, and then sometimes if I'm trying to concentrate on something, it just bothers me.
Yeah, sometimes it gets to be annoying. It is. Hey,
yeah.
By the way, I've got to ask you this. Has anybody ever said you sound like Rosie O'Donnell?
No.
You do?
I am originally from Long Island, and she's from Comac, and I'm from CI.
Yeah, you sound just like her.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
No, that's good. I guess
okay.
That's good in terms of the
I'm
voice.
I'm really glad I got through. I listen to you, and with the work I do, it's so soothing. You have such a soothing voice, you know, and I just, you know, I was like, wow, this is nice, you know, because I listen to you all night long on a CD, and it's like, oh, wow, this is great, and I just get into the rhythm of typing, and it's great, you know.
As long as I don't
really
have that.
I really appreciate your show.
As long as I don't have that voice that sends you to sleep, we don't want to do that.
No, no, no. And, you know, I was listening to you earlier, and like you said, not all the shows are, you know, to everybody's liking, but I've learned so much, and I've even actually used some of the suggestions that some of your guests have given, and it's just amazing, and I'm just glad I'm not...
You're absolutely right. Hey, thanks for the call, by the
way. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely right. I mean, for example, I can't tell you the response I had when we had David Wolf on, who talked about raw foods and things like that. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal. Yet, it's, you know, it's not your typical coast-to-coast program. So every once in a while, we'll just mix it up a little bit. Not all the time, but every once in a while. Like I said, next week, it's almost an entire paranormal week. And in June, I should be getting David Icke. Roundtable discussion on 9/11. Richard C. Hoagland is working with our producers on a very special God, Man, and E.T. roundtable discussion. So we've got a lot of things coming up for you. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is James. I drive a truck, and I'm west of Amarillo right now.
How far do you drive, James? All over the country?
No, just pretty much the central part of the United States.
All hours, I assume, though. You drive daytime,
and
nighttime?
Nighttime, just whenever, just ever how the hours fall. But I got two theories on your bee pollination, and you also the prices and everything.
Okay, what's up?
Okay, well, you know, Mother Nature's not stupid. You know, I mean, the bee pollination, for instance, they keep putting all these chemicals and stuff on the plants, so, and the bees, they're not going to be attracted to it. So they're not going to do their job. So you're going to have a lack in the bee pollination there.
Might
okay,
be.
And as far as the prices on the berries or the honey and stuff like that, I'm going to tell you right now, like I said, I'm a truck driver. You can chalk that up for the prices of fuel. Because when the prices of fuel goes up, we got to get paid more. When we get paid more, the consumer's going to have to pay more to pick up the tab.
Yeah, this box of blueberries, James, and I don't know if you've ever hauled that. Number one, it must have been maybe an inch high. I mean, I used to see them in a nice little bucket. I mean, an inch high, that's it. Just a little tiny carton, $3. I've never seen that before.
I've seen tomatoes at a local store, you know, go from one day be like 59 cents a pound or something like that to two, you know, $1, $1.50 a piece overnight.
Like overnight. So are they gouging you or did something happen?
No, it's just the market, the demand, I guess.
You're right. It is like fuel as well. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We'll be back. Boy, this hour took off like a rocket, didn't it? Well, we've got another hour of open lines for you. And don't forget the I'm Afraid of the Dark hotline, which is 818-817-0021. Back in a moment.
Watch the cars. I fear I'll do some damage one fine day. But I would not be convicted by jury of my peers. Still crazy.